Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week I'm answering a question. Well, it's a question that I came up with and I shared it over on my Instagram feed. And the question was, how important is it to be efficient as an artist? And wow, I got so many answers and really thoughtful insights into how people think about efficiency in their creative practice. So I do suggest going over to the Instagram post and I will leave a link in the show notes. But in today's episode, I'm going to, I guess, summarize some of those tips that people left, but also provide my own experience and thoughts on efficiency and whether that applies to being an artist and the different applications of it. One of the interesting things that I noticed was that efficiency brings up quite a different response in people. So some people saw the word efficiency and it just made them feel like icky inside. It was like, ugh, you know, I'm an artist. Efficiency just makes me feel all like constrained and focused on the output. There were things mentioned like, I don't want to be a factory line worker or paint to a formula. And then there were other artists that talked about efficiency and how it had improved their practice. It had enabled them to make time for art and fit it in amongst other things, and very positive around the word and how it applies to them. So I found that fascinating that it could bring up such a variety of responses.
When you mentioned it to me, you were saying that you wanted to do a podcast around efficiency, and that was the first thought, was how to make more time for art, not how to be more efficient with your art.
Well, what I did notice was that people perceived it very differently. So some people thought of it as how to be more efficient as far as the outcome. So produce more paintings, maybe make more sales, like that's the goal. Mm-hmm. Other people, it was very much about how to be more efficient so that you can spend time in the creative process. And it was less focused on the outcome of that time and more about just making time and being efficient so that you can get in there and do some art. So we'll talk through different ways that you can approach efficiency in this episode. And I've broken it down into some areas. So I want to talk about emotional and energetic efficiency. And I got that phrase from Ange Miller, who actually was, I think, one of the first people that I heard talk about efficiency from an art perspective. And she chatted about it with me in a podcast episode a long time ago now, and it stuck with me, the word efficiency. So I'll link that episode and we'll chat about using efficiency from that kind of higher level. We'll talk about time management efficiencies, organizational efficiencies, painting efficiencies, business efficiencies, all kinds of efficiencies.
This podcast won't be very efficient.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I decided to do this episode, I asked for help. Like, I put it out there on my Instagram feed and I realized afterwards that that's one of my tools that I use to help be efficient, particularly when I am struggling a little bit with ideas. So sometimes efficiency can mean asking for help. And I'm very grateful for everyone who pitched in this week and has helped out with this episode and for all the contributions that we are going to hear today. So before we dive in, let's hear from our review of the week. And it comes from Pamo Girl Blue via Apple Podcasts Australia. And the review is, "You're a mind reader, this is me. Hi Laura and Richie, I have had some time out from listening to podcasts over the Christmas holidays. Tuned in this morning to my fave podcast, you and Richie, and you were talking about exactly what I had been thinking about. My husband gave me a beautiful moleskin art journal for Christmas, and I'm scared to paint in it. After listening to you today, I'm going to be brave and paint in it today. If it doesn't work out, I can always glue the pages together." By the way, Richie, laughed out loud when you put that sneaky bit in at the end. Looking forward to hanging out with you both in 2021. Love your podcast. I'm so happy to hear that. And I hope by now you have made lots of lovely messes in that moleskin journal. And if anyone wants to listen to that episode, it's the one about overcoming sketchbook anxiety. And I'm pretty sure it's episode number 118 or else it's 119 thereabouts.
Yeah. Hope she hasn't glued too many pages together already.
That old trick. So I thought we'd start with a definition of efficiency, because when I got all these answers, I thought perhaps I need to look up what efficiency actually is. Maybe I've got this all wrong. So I went to the dictionary, the Collins Dictionary, and efficiency is the quality of being able to do a task successfully without wasting time or energy. And I think you could also apply materials to that. So being efficient with your time, energy, and materials. So personally, I find that efficiency is a very important part of the way that I make art and run my creative business. So it doesn't bring up any kind of icky feelings for me. Efficiency is about having more focus around the work that I do, making time for it, asking for help, like all sorts of sort of positive aspects to being able to do the work that I want to do as much as I can. So it's, for me, it's a positive thing.
The main reason we burn out or we get exhausted or we get fed up with our work is because it's too hard and we're too tired. So if you can do something that you love efficiently, you can, it's sustainable. You can do it for longer.
Yeah, it's definitely tied in with burnout and managing your energy levels. And in this conversation, I want to take a pretty broad view of the word task, because that in itself can make it seem quite production line-like. If you think about it, it could be something that you've written on your to-do list might be just to do some painting today. Like that could be the task. It's not necessarily about that painting being a masterpiece. It's just getting some paint on the page. It might be something in relation to your creative business. Like for us today, the task is making a podcast and getting it out into the world. So it's very broad. I'm not just talking about painting. I'm talking about your creative practice and creative business if you have one.
Well, the podcast today isn't being done very efficiently because we're recording from home and then I'll edit at the studio. The reason we got the studio was to be more efficient, where we would record the podcast from the studio, I would edit at the studio, and you'd do your notes at the studio. But we're still being relatively efficient because doing a podcast this way isn't going to damage us physically or emotionally. Do you know what I mean? We can adjust. So we can do the podcast from home and then I can go to the studio and edit it. And you can go upstairs to your studio upstairs and do the notes.
The real reason why we're doing it at home is because I want to have a home day and I'm tired. We've had a very busy period of work with our Creative Elements Challenge and the launch of our Modern Mixed Media e-course, which is full. And I feel like having a pajama day. And I actually stayed in bed a little bit late this morning to catch up on some rest, which is an important part of efficiency because you have to have a long-term view around your work and your creative practice. And sometimes we push ourselves too hard and then we sabotage and we end up having to take weeks off or months off because we're so burnt out. So today's decision to record the podcast at home is about making it a little bit gentler in a way for me so that I can then, you know, pick up the kids from school and, you know, there isn't as much travel time and that kind of thing. It makes sense when you look at it from that perspective. So this brings me into the first topic that I wanted to, or the area, which is emotional and energetic efficiency. Ange Miller popped in her post, "I only want to invest time, energy and focus to what brings return and increase." But when she was talking about that, my understanding was that she wants to be operating at a higher level where the work that she does is in alignment with her values. So that's where efficiency can be about making sure that you are doing the work that you truly want to do for the reasons, the right reasons. And so for us, that's around getting back to the values of our business, which is about spending more time with our kids and with each other and having a flexible way of life. So sometimes being efficient is about getting back to your core purpose and saying no to things that are pulling you away from it. So that's another way of being efficient, looking at what am I doing and am I on track here and do I need to say no to some of these things that are coming at me?
They're brave decisions to make, you know, to have to say no to something that you may want to do it, you know, for whatever selfish reason or for whatever reason. But, you know, it's outside of your values. It's outside of your core, you know, why you want to do this.
And I think that's the ultimate efficiency. The ultimate efficiency is when the work that you are doing, so the energy, the time, the materials that you are putting in is focused on what you want from a value perspective. That to me is the ultimate efficiency.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start with that because that's a kind of at that higher level and that more strategic level. There's another word that people don't like, strategy and efficiency. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where I think it's a really good place to start. And tied in with that is using efficiency as a way of understanding your energy levels too. So tying in your work with your mood and how you work best. So when we talk about energetic efficiency, for artists, that's understanding the best way that you work. And so whether or not you do creative work first thing in the morning is when you tend to feel the most creative, or for some artists, they like to do their business admin first thing in the morning and find that they can relax into their creative work in the afternoon. For everyone, it's different. But I do feel there's a lot of value in understanding yourself and when you work best and aligning your tasks to your energy levels. So sometimes when you have low energy, you might be able to do something simple like packing prints or perhaps, you know, sending very standard kind of emails and responses. When you have high energy, you can do that conceptual work around what am I going to create next, planning. And if you do other things like running workshops or courses, you can spend time getting those ideas together. Some work isn't very fun, like accounting. But I do find that I need to be kind of switched on for that work. And it came to my mind because I've got some accounting to do. And I've been, as you say, feeling a bit tired. And I've realized that it's probably going to take me a hell of a lot longer if I try and do that today. Whereas what I've decided to do is to let it be a little bit late and do it on Friday when I can do it, dedicate a whole day to it without having to worry about getting a podcast out or anything like that. And I can just sit down and crunch numbers for the day. And I'll probably start that first thing in the morning because I do work best in the early hours of the day. My sort of peak time is from about 9 till lunchtime. When I need to get stuff done, that's when it's happening. So that's something that I've learned about myself.
I like that you recognize that, because I remember you saying to me, you know, it has to be to the accountant by a certain date. You are looking at it and you're like, I've got to get it done on this day and that day, and I really got to push hard. And then you just took a step back from it and you went, do you know what? I'm going to do it when I'm ready to do it, and I'm going to give it my all, and I'll give it to the accountant when it's ready.
I'm very much a, you know, I stick to my deadlines.
Yeah.
But in this case, I felt like I could just let it go a little bit and what's, you know, a day or so, and align it better with my energy levels. So that's something that I've learned over time. And, you know, being efficient is also understanding the cycle of creativity and knowing that there are times, and it could be weeks or months, when you have like a burst and you're able to create and come up with new things. And then you might have a period where you feel creatively blocked or in a bit of a slump. And that's natural. And over time I've come to accept that there are times when that serves a purpose, where you're resting and getting ready for the next period of work. So rather than thinking, hey, I'm not being efficient right now, it's better to think about it with the big picture in mind and realize that actually part of me being efficient is having some downtime so that I can be creative again down the track. If I'm honest, I'm always looking for efficiencies in my art business and my art practice. If I can get the same results but do it in a way that's more effective, then that's what I'll do. And we were chatting today about how this could end up being a longer podcast conversation, and then I'll need to do long, lengthy podcast notes, and then my idea of having a short, relaxing day may not actually come to fruition. And I said to you, you know, I've streamlined that process of writing the podcast notes because that's an area where I felt like I needed to create an efficiency in my creative business. When I was sharing with people how I organize things using Trello, which is one of my tools that I like to use for efficiency, I have a column in there where I have a list of processes to make better. And in there are things like, how do you pack your prints better in a quicker way? Because who wants to be spending loads of time packing prints when you could be doing other things? So there's many applications. A lot of people were applying this mostly to art, so I do want to get into efficiency in relation to the actual painting and not just the creative business side of things. I definitely feel like I'm always looking for ways to be more efficient, and that applied even when I didn't have an art business. It applied when I had young children and I was looking at ways to fit art in. So let's talk about time management and how efficiency applies to that. So a lot of people mention scheduling time in, like they do block out chunks of time for making art and chunks of time for other things, and that using time blocking is, you know, very effective for them. I certainly feel like we do that a lot, like we block out time, we chat about when we will be doing things, allocate, you know, 3 or 4 hours here and there, and we often have a quite singular focus on a day. So today will be like, okay, today's all about getting the podcast out, and then, you know, Friday might be, that's all about you spending time in your studio making art and just dabbling and having free creative expression. So there's an efficiency to it, but it's enabling you to do the different things that you want to do. So notice I mentioned free creative expression, but I've blocked that in some way. When we decide what we are going to do during the week, we are super flexible. So there's that element of matching what we are doing to our mood and our energy. So that Friday day of dabbling with paint could easily turn into Monday next week if things kind of shape up differently during the week. So there's that element of flexibility with it all. So time blocking for me, it has to be very, very fluid. It can't be sort of like every Monday I do this. Even with the podcast, we try and do it on a Monday. We're recording it on a Wednesday today, just before it comes out. So there needs to be a lot of flexibility, but I do value thinking about time in chunks, a few hours here, days even. Another one that was mentioned was setting timers to do things. So actually saying, okay, I'm going to sit down and do this for half an hour, and then when it's done, I'm going to step away. Sometimes you can work too long on something that it becomes inefficient. I mean, we certainly know that, you know, where we keep pushing, it could be creative writing or painting, but there's a point where you start to kind of shoot yourself in the foot. And so setting a timer can be a valuable thing to do. One of the people that commented on the post mentioned that they have recognized, I think it was it 3 or 4 hours is their optimum amount of time for painting. And they put up a sign on their studio. Let me just see. I've written this down. Maximum painting time of 4 hours and a sign up. Artist at work. Do not disturb between 1 and 5 p.m. So that goes up. So that's a magnificent recognition of the best time when that person works, how much time is optimum, and communicating that priority to the people around, you know, so that people know that it's important, it's a priority time for you. So I thought that was brilliant.
You should try that in this house, see if it works.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about the sign that I'm going to put up.
Yeah, you'd need a sign, two locked doors and a guard dog. And the kids would still come and get you.
And a couple of the other tips were not accessing Wi-Fi for half of the day.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Never tried that myself, but I think it's brilliant. And tied in with that is not accessing social media. So having,
well, that's what they mean,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, so having some kind of restriction on Facebook, Instagram, and we all know that can be a bit of a massive, actually, time suck.
It can pull you right out, yeah. Mm.
So we'll move on now to organisational efficiencies. And one thing I noticed was that for many people, efficiency is about organising their supplies and space to maximise art time. It's not necessarily about producing results. For some artists it is, and there was a bit of a, I guess, difference between working artists and non-working artists. I found that many of the comments that came from artists that are making a living from selling their paintings or doing commissions were very focused on efficiency. And it makes sense, because you are looking to make a quality lifestyle from your art business, and where you can save time, you know, save on materials and energy, it's all going to help you have a more profitable art business. So this efficiency thing is very important from that perspective. But for some, it was about mainly just being able to make art, because we are all very busy. Many people are trying to make art with small children underfoot, full-time jobs, other commitments. And there were some wonderful tips around how people get organized so that they can do the art that they want to do. So let me share a few of those. So working on multiples in a series is definitely one that comes up again and again, and you know it's a favourite of mine to, you know, put a few sketchbooks out and paint a base layer in one stage, come back and do the next stage on another day. Breaking your process down into stages is a very useful tool, and one that I found that working artists mentioned a lot. So they might spend one day just gessoing canvases, another day doing backgrounds and underpaintings. And I noticed that many of them had taken a lot of time to work out the steps in their process and how they could make it easier for themselves. And that might involve things like pre-mixing colours into tubs so that they have their favourites all ready to go. Using something like a stay wet palette was another suggestion, where you use a palette that keeps your paints wet so that you don't have to clean up and remix each day. And the preparation work, thumbnail sketches, swatches, creating a mood board, all the sorts of things that we talk about on this podcast a lot, having your reference material around you, doing that work that enables you to get into the process quicker and with more focus. It's also a way of matching your energy, because sometimes you don't have maybe the energetic level that you need for coming up with new ideas or something like that, but you can get into the studio and gesso some canvases or paint edges. And if you've broken down your work and you know what all the different stages are, you can make good choices. And it's not about taking the magic out of painting or the experimentation, because that still might be one of your recognized stages. So you might recognize that there's a time in your work where you put your music on and you let go and you try out different things, and that's part of your process. So I'm not taking that away from it. I'm just saying that it might be useful to look at the different elements to the work you do, which makes me think about the creative elements challenge that we ran, or it's still actually running, where we broke down the work into things like creating colour palettes, exploring different ways of mark making, doing thumbnail studies. Like, this type of stuff was in that challenge. And I'm very passionate about it because it's helped me enormously in my own work, and I don't find it restrictive. I find it much more
freeing
and invigorating to do that kind of work. It gives me lots of material and new ideas. So this is a great tip, listening to helpful content, i.e. podcasts, while painting. But it's, we laugh about it, but when I was first setting up our art business, I just went crazy on podcasts, like listening to marketing podcasts, art podcasts, other kinds of business podcasts, well-being podcasts, like to help me, you know, stay fit and healthy. So meditations and things like that. Like I would use my time in the studio to gain other skills and insights. So I think it's a wonderful tip and a way of kind of multitasking is paint and learn about something at the same time. Only having supplies you need and taking care not to waste supplies and using up scraps and snippets. So things like using your palette paper in collage, which we mentioned in the Creative Elements Challenge, that sometimes you can take your palette and turn it into something else. Being mindful around what you're using. And that can create an efficiency because you're not buying things that you don't need, wasting money, those sorts of things. So that came up quite a bit. Last week on the podcast, we talked about setting up a small art space and shared quite a few tips about how you can organize your supplies and use things like trays and take a kind of minimal approach with things. So if you wanted to listen to that, head back to last week and you'll hear some more tips around organization. Another tip mentioned was using challenges and prompts to help you get straight into work. One of the advantages of challenges is that it gets you past that decision-making process. So you have something that you can respond to and you can get straight into it. So prompts and things like that can help you to spend less time thinking about what you're going to do and more time just getting into your work. So they're very popular. Definitely something to look at if you're feeling a bit creatively blocked or you need something to kickstart your creativity. And there are always new challenges popping up all the time. I can't think of one at the moment, but I know the 100-day challenge is going on at the moment. That's a big one. The 100-day project, is that what it's called? I think so. But there's all sorts of challenges out there and they can be a great way to efficiently get into art making.
Well, you'd have to, if it was 100 days, you'd have to get really efficient.
Yeah, and a lot of people who do the 100-day challenge actually spend quite a bit of time before the challenge starts prepping and getting organized, so getting their pieces of paper cut to size, thinking about what supplies they're going to use, setting up their space, maybe painting a few backgrounds and doing that organizational work so that they can then be efficient and keep up with the challenge. So the last area I wanted to talk about, and we ended up chatting a bit about this at the beginning, which is business efficiencies. One of the tips that came up in this area was having a very well-organized area for packing your art and also an organized area if you are having exhibitions. So doing things like putting the screws in, getting all your hanging stuff and having that, your framing, having that well organized so that you can easily find that hook that you need. Or in the case of packing, you've got all your, you know, bubble wrap and your cardboard and your tape and your labels and everything is easy. And that's something I wish that I had better set up when we were shipping and packing, because I felt like every time it was time to ship and pack, it was just a headache.
Yeah, but we were also printing from the spare bedroom and we were running off hundreds of prints with no room.
Yeah, it was quite challenging.
And there's drying time, so you can only print a certain amount.
Well, we realised that doing the prints ourselves was becoming inefficient.
Correct.
That's one of the reasons why we don't have a print shop at the moment, and we haven't yet got to the point of figuring out how we want to run our prints. We are taking our time with it, let's just say that. But looking at options, you know, like outsourcing, drop shipping, using other companies. And that is a response to a realization that what we were doing wasn't the best use of our time. Another little tip, I've personally seen this work really well, is artists that have a drive or a Dropbox or something, a folder, with their artist statement, their bio, a selection of their best work, like a portfolio, all ready to go. And I see this in action with artists that are coming onto the podcast. And I say, can you send me a photograph or some information so that I can promote the podcast? And they go, yeah, sure. Here's the link to my Dropbox folder. And everything's there and beautifully organized into categories. And I've always thought this is a great thing to do, because as you progress as an artist, you'll increasingly have people send you things and they always want them yesterday. Mm-hmm. they'll send you a great opportunity for you to be featured in a magazine or something like that, but the deadline was always like last week. Yeah. So if you can have some stuff organized, and it might be photos, even a few, you know, blog posts or interviews that you've done before that you can reference back to if they're looking for a paragraph or something like that. And obviously, you know, bio, statement, all of that ready to go is going to make your life a lot easier.
But again, we're getting back to that, you know, bravery in being able to say, no, you've asked me too late and I have other stuff to do. And if I do this, you're taking time away from what's important to me. And it's a devastating call to make, because you're saying to yourself, I would have loved to have done that article, or I would have liked to do that interview. But the answer is no.
Yeah, and that's something that we've had to get to grips with a lot in our business. And I love that we've come full circle and back to that very first thing we talked about, which is being efficient with where your energy and time goes, and always checking in with your values and what it is you truly want, like the vision for your art business or your art practice. So I think that's so important, and that's where efficiency really comes in. That's a beautiful place to end, but I also wanted to mention there were a couple of comments on the Instagram post around people who maybe have had a background where they were in corporate jobs or in the design world, where efficiency was something that was drilled into them, or such an important part of the work that they do. And now they are getting in touch with their creative side and they're feeling the freedom of being able to break free and explore new things. And they're actually trying to unlearn those efficiency habits, because they are getting in the way of being able to explore art freely.
Yeah, they're being held back.
Yeah, and I thought that that's a really valuable point, because some of our drive towards efficiency can stop us from lingering in a process or breaking the rules, doing something a little bit differently. So if you find that you are sitting down to paint and you're thinking completely about, okay, I need to get from here to there and produce this at the end, yeah, absolutely, it could get in the way of you enjoying the experience and process. With that, I fully and wholeheartedly agree that sometimes we do need to unlearn some of those efficiencies, and particularly that focus on the outcome. A lot of our conversation today has been about making space for you to be creative in whatever way feels good for you. So not necessarily focused on the outcome or the product, but being efficient with your time, your energy, and your materials in your own personal way. Like, what does efficiency mean for you? Well, that's where I'm going to end it today, but I would love for people to go over and check out the Instagram posts, because there are so many thoughtful answers and tips, and we've only been able to kind of scrape the surface today in this conversation. So I'll leave a link to the post, but you can also head on over to my Instagram at Laura Horn Art, and if you are listening to this as it comes out, you'll see a post there with efficiency written on it. It's quite obvious. Thought I was a bit clever. It's actually really dorky, but anyway, look out for the dorky post with the word efficiency on it. You'll see what I mean. And you can read all the answers from our podcast listeners. They've actually been a lot more eloquent with their answers than I feel like we have been today. Skip the podcast. Oops, sorry, if you're at this end of the podcast, it's too late.
Sorry for wasting your time.
You should have just read the Instagram post. But if you did enjoy the podcast conversation, although after us saying that, perhaps you're rethinking that. But if you actually did enjoy the podcast conversation, we love it when you share your stories or you leave us a review or a message. It's wonderful to hear from you, and we hope that you'll join us again next week.